Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Bet on Chicago. My name is Joy Christopoulos. Today's episode is brought to you by who else? BetOnline.ag. And look, if you're into sports betting, BetOnline is where you should go to win money today. Whether it's live bets during games or futures for who you think will win that next championship, BetOnline has all the odds, news, and information for all your online sports betting needs. So what are you waiting for? Visit the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So before the next big game, head on over to BetOnline and start playing today. BetOnline, your online sports book experts. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for coming into the pod today. I'm super excited because I don't know if you can get the waft through your speakers right now because it's fantasy football season. We're coming up with a ton of great content here on Bet on Chicago all this month of August. And what better way to kick it off than some good teammates and brothers at Believe Podcast Network? They are the hosts of the Candlestick Kids Fantasy Football Podcast. Let's first say hello to Sky Guasco. Hello, Sky.
Joey, great to be on here, man. We're very, very excited to talk some fantasy football with you.
Let's rock and roll. And your co-host, Bobby Lamarco. Bobby, such a pleasure. How are you?
Yeah, pleasure's all mine, man. Thanks for having us. We're excited to talk some Bears and some fantasy football.
We're having a great time cutting it up before the pod began. We laid out a couple ground rules. We're not going to talk about Chris Bryant on the Giants. They promised to go easy on me today, which I really, really appreciate. I love fantasy football. So let's just dive right in. Kind of came up with just a list of questions right now that are going on as preseason games are about to get underway. Drafts maybe still a couple weeks away. If you're drafting this weekend, I don't know what to tell you. Slow your roll just a little bit. Make sure you know what you're doing. You're a little bit too early to the party. All right. The appetizers will still be there a couple weeks later. But let's talk about the Chicago Bears, a team that if you go online, insiders and scouts dragging them, hating on them, all the rankings, 25, 26, 27, 28, whatever position groups you want to go to. But if you go over to Vegas, the Vegas odds are actually pretty, pretty favorable about the Bears either winning 8 to 9 games or making the playoffs. So what does it mean? And what does it mean for fantasy football? Bobby, we're going to go to you first. You know, we're just going to kind of go through some of these guys a little bit. And let's just start with Allen Robinson. I love the guy to pieces. But my question for you is he a top 10 wide receiver? And more importantly, is he a guy that, let's just say, maybe you take two running backs in those first two rounds? Are you comfortable with him as your wide receiver one on a fantasy roster when you get it started?
Top 10 receiver for fantasy purposes, I'm going to say no. I'm going to say he's probably, though, right there. I mean, Allen Robinson is probably the safest pick you can make in the back of the third round. Andy Dalton is not a bad pick for this offense. And listen, I understand there might be a transition mid-year to a rookie, but we just saw Keenan Allen do really good with Justin Herbert. We saw Tyler Boyd, we just brought up with Joe Burrow. Rookies can support one elite wide receiver. That's fine. So I'm not stressed about the transition either. But let's look at Andy Dalton. So the reason why is I have some optimism for Allen Robinson is look at A.J. Green's career with Dalton. I mean, from 2011 to 2018, he averaged 14.2 points per game in half-point PPR. Ironically, that would have been the wide receiver 10 last year. So there you go. There's the avenue for him to be a top 10 receiver. The biggest thing that's going to happen, though, is the touchdowns. Allen Robinson, in his three seasons, his 16-game pace with Mitch Trubisky, Nick Foles, whoever you want to throw out there, is about 6 per season, which is not great. A.J. Green with Dalton was 9.1. So if he's able to get closer to that double-digit touchdown range, I think he's going to be more of a solidified wide receiver one on a points-per-game basis. Because last year, on a points-per-game basis, he was about middle wide receiver two, but he ended up finishing as a wide receiver one because he plays 16 games. So I think he's going to be better this year with Dalton and even with the transition Justin Fields, just based on some of the history of A.J. Green. So I love him in the third round. The question comes, and you know what? I'm gonna get in the host seat for a second, kick some over to you.
Jeff. You're back.
All right, CeeDee Lamb, Terry McLaurin, Amari Cooper. Those are the guys going right around Allen Robinson. My thought is, would you go with your? I'm gonna put you on the spot. Are you gonna take Allen Robinson, CeeDee Lamb, Terry McLaurin, or Cooper? Who else? Who would you got?
So you know you're bringing up some excellent points, especially with Allen Robinson. Tons of targets, 90 to 100 receptions, over 1,000 yards. But I'm with you, man. The touchdowns is the huge question. And I love my Chicago Bears, and I love Allen Robinson. But if I'm in a draft room, and Allen Robinson is my first receiver taken off the board, and I'm trusting that dude to lead the way and be that, you know, wide receiver one for me, I'm a little squeamish a little bit. And if you watch the Bears games, it's pretty obvious when they get in the red zone, when they get in those short yardage situations, they love those jump balls to Jimmy Graham. Matt Nagy loves to come up with his quirky little play. They're faking it and they're trying to hand, you know what I mean? And it's pretty obvious, you know, just get the ball to Allen Robinson, but it doesn't necessarily go that way. I'm with you. I love Terry McLaurin this year. I was a huge CeeDee Lamb guy last year. I drafted him in all four of my leagues. Like I was just, you know, I was strutting like Mick Jagger back, you know, around just being like, y'all just wait. And it didn't really pan out because of Dak, but that's a whole nother therapy session.
We'll give you credit.
Yeah. But no, man, I'm with you. I would honestly probably think about taking some of those other guys just from a fantasy perspective of those touchdowns, as opposed to maybe a player that I think might be, you know, if I'm playing real deal football, I'm probably taking an Allen Robinson over a Terry McLaurin. But I love Terry McLaurin this year with Fitzmagic. I think that's just a great value. It's just sitting right there. That's probably where I'm at with that. Sky, hop in on this one.
I'm good with him being a wide receiver one. Top 10, I think he's right on the fringe, to be honest with you. In PPR, I do have a bunch. So, and I should clear this up if people are listening and we're going back and forth. PPR is full point per reception, and half PPR is half a point. Bobby generally talks in kind of a half point PPR verbiage, and I talk in a full point PPR. So a lot of the same, all the information's the same. Numbers just change a little bit differently. And for a wide receiver like Allen Robinson specifically, full PPR, he does get a bit of a bump ahead of like a Terry McLaurin, for example. 150 plus targets in the last 2 years with nobody. No disrespect, my man. But Mitch Trubisky didn't work out. Nick Foles is not the answer. Neither one of them are starting in the NFL right now. They're both backups with no chance to play anytime soon. And that was Allen Robinson's quarterback for the last couple of seasons. Andy Dalton, as Bobby run out there, much better than both those guys. And if Justin Fields is the truth, which so far in a few highlights from camp looks like he will be eventually, look, he's playing on the franchise tag, right? Allen Robinson could be gone next year. They could also re-sign him if things work out. Bears fans want him back, I'm sure. Dude's a beast. In fantasy football, I do like him top 10, and in PPR especially because he's got that 150 plus target share, which is just, I mean, you're chasing volume a lot of times too with guys like this. And it's not like he can't catch touchdowns. It's like Julio Jones. It's embarrassing the amount of touchdowns Julio never got in his career, right? It's not that he can't catch them. They don't use him that way, and the offense hasn't been dominant enough to get down there. I think it could be this year.
Yeah, huge target shares. Maybe the red zone looks are probably something that I'm always wanting from a fantasy perspective. And so far in camp, Allen Robinson and Andy Dalton are getting along pretty well. They seem to be carving it up. So I do like the target shares at least out of the gate from that perspective. And also just real quick, you know, I've been playing fantasy football for 12 years now, and they were all standard leagues when I first started. Are there any standard leagues anymore, or it's all half PPR or full PPR? Right? Take your blockbuster card.
Yeah. The only I'm pretty sure the only platform you can play standard on anymore is MySpace. So it's a little bit hard to find. It's funny you say that, because I actually had a good buddy of mine today reach out and was like, "Hey man, I got my draft this weekend. Can you help me out with some questions?" I'm like, "Sure. Send me your roster, your league settings. Like, give me an idea." We went through the whole conversation. I was like, "Oh yeah, is this PPR, half PPR?" He's like, "Non PPR." I was like, "Oh, well, the draft running backs." Not really. It is fading, but it is the old school way. So there are a lot of people that like, it's your traditional approach and people like to play that way, but it is definitely fading out.
Oh, once you get a taste of that half PPR though, no one ever comes back. That's what ends up happening in all my leagues. Everyone's just like, let's just try it. Who doesn't like a little higher of a score? And then it just stays that way for forever. I want to talk about David Montgomery, a guy who finished up the season last year. I think in the last 5 weeks is either RB1 or RB2 in all of the NFL.
Massive.
They remade their offensive line. You know, obviously the Bears are dealing with a lot of injuries in training camp, but a lot of those pieces that led to Montgomery's success are going to be in the fold this year. David Montgomery, do you like where he's slotted right now in terms of value? And do you think he can even maybe take a step forward this year?
Yes and no. Taking a step forward from running back four is going to be tough. He also had the ultimate opportunity for volume. Tariq Cohen goes down. You know, they couldn't push the ball down the field. And yes, Allen Robinson's great, but Darnell Mooney was overthrown every pass that he got. So they really relied on David Montgomery through the pass game as well, which he can do, but I don't think they do that this year with Tariq Cohen coming back. Early implications, you know, Matt Nagy's saying that he wants to get him 20 plus touches, around 300 on the season. Look, if that actually happens, absolutely fire him up. I'm not convinced that it will, because first of all, I can't trust Matt Nagy quite yet. Mm-hmm. And he's a running back 15 for me. I'm a little bit higher than the ECR, which for anyone unfamiliar is expert consensus ranking. So people in the industry come together and take the average of everyone's rankings. That gives you an expert consensus ranking, ECR. I'm a little bit higher than that. I just believe in the player and the potential talent there. But with three coming back and again, if Justin Fields comes in and they start slinging it downfield more often, that might open holes for David Montgomery, which could be great. But I think they're also going to become more of a high-powered offense, which could hurt him in the long run. So right now, I'm not expecting what I saw last year at all. So he feels good in the third, fourth round. I feel comfortable with him as my RB2, not really stoked on him as my RB1 personally. And if he gives me running back 15 numbers every single week with a couple running back fives, if he gets a few touchdowns or a big run or something, I'm good with that.
Yeah, I think he's the perfect RB2 for a fantasy team this year. I think the rubber meets the road where he's a rhythm runner, where Bears would give him the ball over and over again on a couple of drives, and he would just be pounding people, pounding people, pounding people. But again, like you said, that flies in the face of everything that Matt Nagy believes in. So what are we to believe and what are we to think as the season moves along? Bobby, hop in. You know, Montgomery, his rookie year, pretty much solid RB2 status. Last year fell down boards a little bit because of that groin injury that eventually he played in week 1, but didn't really show out in those first 2 months. Now he's back in that RB2 conversation. Do you like where he's at, and do you feel like he could be a solid piece to a fantasy team?
I think he's underrated because right now he's going as the RB17, but the problem is where he's going. You know, you're going to pass up on your boy Allen Robinson. You're going to pass up on CeeDee Lamb. You're going to have to pass on some of these premier wide receivers who have top 10 upside to draft David Montgomery. But it's really it's a question you have to evaluate. The second round, like let's say, for example, Tyreek Hill falls and you pull the trigger on Hill or Stephon Diggs in the second round, instead of taking a second running back, David Montgomery's not a bad consolation prize at the back of the third round. So I don't hate his value, but just hard to take him over guys that I love. Like I love Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, and Allen Robinson. But I took a look at this because I wanted to see and understand. He had a great season last year. So I looked at the last three seasons to see guys who averaged between, you know, roughly 14 and 16 points per game and half point PPR. What I found is there is a drop in production about 12%. So they average about 15.2 in the year, and then they drop down to 13.3. Only 5 of the 17 guys who qualified improved the next year. So not really likely you're going to see much improvement. These aren't the elite guys that fall into this range, but only 6 of the 17 fell below 12 points. So he's still going to be productive. He's going to probably finish as a top 20 running back. So you're getting value for him, but you want to try to find guys who can exceed their value. And with Damian Williams now on board, he's a very good running back, should have been the Super Bowl MVP 2 years ago. I think he's going to bring this down because opportunity cost. Guy just brought this up. He was 7th in the NFL last year amongst running backs in opportunity share. The prior year, he was down to 59%. The following year, it was 73%. 14% jump in opportunity share last year. So if it goes anywhere back to with Damian Williams and Tariq Cohen, I think he's a good top 20 back, but I just don't think he's going to win your fantasy league this year.
I want to follow up with you on something. You brought up something really interesting, and I think fantasy football fans, whether it's your first time or whether it's your 12th year or your 20th year, go through this every single year. And this kind of wraps into the tight end conversation we're going to have in a second. What is your philosophy? I want to hear from both of you. We're going to do Bobby first. What's your philosophy on filling out roster need versus looking at the names on the list and you're going, how the hell am I taking this guy when all these dudes are on the list right now? Per example that you just mentioned, you're looking at your roster and you go, shit, I took a wide receiver in the first round. I need that running back. Now I'm looking at this list and I have to take player X while these three surefire Pro Bowlers are just sitting there on the board. You know, how do you negotiate that in your mind? And how do you recommend fantasy football fans going about that when drafts come around?
This is a slippery slope, my friend. Okay. So first of all, you have to understand your actual starting lineup. So if you have to start 2 running backs, 3 receivers, and 2 flex spots, that means you're going to have to start probably 7 running backs and wide receivers. That's a lot different than constructing a roster that's smaller, like 2 running backs, 2 receivers, and a tight end, for example. No flex. So my thing is you have to evaluate your actual starting lineups, because taking quarterbacks and tight ends early means that you're drafting guys in the 8th, 9th round who are going to be your starters in deeper formats. So that's one thing I factor in. The other thing is, because the running back is so heavy in the first round, you might get through the first 9 picks and everyone's a running back. That means the rest of the draft, the receivers technically are always going to be better values, because before you get to pick 10, 9 running backs are off the board, 0 wide receivers. Of course, the wide receiver one's better than the RB10. But you have to remember in the back of your mind, in the next rounds, you're going to be 9 running backs ahead anyway. You're going to be RB20 versus wide receiver 12. And then so on and so forth. So that's a huge factor in all this. You're going to be reaching for running backs no matter where you go if you're drafting in the back of that first round. So that's why I like to go running back early, take the guys at more solidified roles. plus the running back dead zone. Apparently it's a thing. But rounds 3 through 6, stay away from running backs. I've actually tried to incorporate that philosophy a little more this year. So I try to go running back early, focus on receivers in the middle rounds, because then you're going to get all those values I just talked about. You're going to get that wide receiver 10 to 12 in the back of the third instead of drafting David Montgomery, who's the RB17, or looking at Josh Jacobs in those ranges. So that's kind of my philosophy for the most part. I'll kick it over to Sky and give you his thoughts.
Yeah, Sky, what are your thoughts on, we're just going to call this the Mike Davis dilemma.
Yeah, Bobby hit it on the head. To play devil's advocate a little bit for other people that either do a zero RB approach or just kind of the idea of what that might mean. I think a lot of times when I approach a draft, first of all, I would never recommend you approach a draft thinking I'm going to do this. Like, I'm drafting two running backs, and then I'm drafting two wide receivers, and then I'm getting Mark Andrews in the 5th round, and then I'm getting Russell Wilson in the 6th, and then I'll play ball. Because it's just not going to happen ever. And even if it does, you still might be passing things up because you're not fluid in the moment. So unless you have like a draft order selected like a month ahead and you can mock draft and study with it, you're going to be kind of on the fly. You need to be fluid. So when I approach a draft, my draft position matters so much. If I have a top 4, top 5 draft position, I'm going to go with those bona fide stud backs because they're league winners by themselves. If I have a middle piece, I'm going to start thinking about Devontae Adams in my MPPR, Tyreek Hill, even Travis Kelce maybe. Is Nick Chubb going to make sense? And if I'm in the back, I might be looking like, okay, am I going to go like Mixon or do I want to go Tyreek Hill? Like the separation that Bobby just mentioned of like potentially the wide receiver 1 over hopefully the running back 10 to 12 to 15, yeah. That's a huge difference. And again, if you're a non-PPR, then the running back has a massive upside. If you're in half or full PPR, usually at that point in your draft, the wide receiver has a massive influx as well. A Darren Waller even starts to have more value than, you know, DeAndre Swift or, you know, somebody in the middle rounds there. So you got to be careful with when you're drafting and how your team starts to roll out. The first couple of rounds are fun because everybody's great, right? There's a couple landmines, in my opinion, out there that we try to avoid, but everybody's great. When you start getting a 3rd, 4th, 5th, 7th round, that is when you can really start finding guys like CeeDee Lamb last year, right? Justin Jefferson was drafted in like the 10th, 12th round. Alvin Kamara a few years ago was drafted in the 10th round, right? There's guys like that every single year. And that's where it's important to kind of be flexible, because if you go in and just automatically draft a couple running backs, the wide receivers are still great, but there's a big difference in point potential. And if you go the other way and go zero RB, you better start looking for pass catching running backs later in your draft. Kareem Hunt's, you know, guys like that, that you can get onto. Because if you get Mike Davis as your running back 1 or your running back 2 in the 5th or 6th round, and you have Travis Kelce and 4 great wide receivers, that might be awesome. But if you have Mike Davis and some like all kind of secure guys, because you know, weren't playing top upside or anything, that could be risky. So I try to be flexible, but it really depends on the draft position for me in the first couple of years at least.
Yeah, especially with that running back. If you wait on running back, sometimes you have to prepare yourself to really start digging in on that waiver wire in the first couple of weeks, because you're going to have to try and, you know, dig out those gems to maybe help, you know, fortify your roster. Yeah. And what we're kind of talking about is just you're always constantly reassessing value on the competing tracks of what your team needs and what the board looks like. And there's also this crazy human element that's involved, where it typically happens more in live drafts when you're with all your buddies. But I think in any draft, just something happens, man, where, I don't know, in the 4th, 5th round, you know, a couple quarterbacks go early, but then the 4th, 5th round, 2 more quarterbacks go, and then another one goes. And then you in your head are like, the whole time you're like, I'm waiting until the 7th round because I'm a smart fantasy drafter. And then all of a sudden you start feeling this weird pressure of like, maybe I should jump up, because what am I going to be left with? And that kind of sort of throws everything out of whack a little bit, especially when they do a little run on the quarterbacks. Let's take a quick break to talk about our brand new sponsor here on Bet on Chicago, Balance 7. So I don't know if you guys have heard, but apparently former NBA player Lamar Odom may be returning to professional basketball in Spain soon. I was recently reading a press release about how he started taking a pH balancing alkaline supplement called Balance 7, and that has helped him bounce back from his hospitalization in 2015. Quote Lamar Odom, "I have an enormous amount of energy, which is good for me. It's important when working out. I always need energy to level up, and I couldn't agree more with Lamar." And after watching him fight by Aaron Carter in July's celebrity boxing match, I think it's safe to say that Balance 7 is working for him. Now, here's the cool thing. We've got a promotion running with Balance 7 right now, where if you go to their website, balance7.com, use the code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, at checkout, you'll receive a free 4-ounce bottle of My Smooth Skin with any purchase of Balance 7 products. That product retails at $13.99, so I'd say you're getting a pretty good deal right there. So what are you waiting for? Head to balance7.com, use the code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, at checkout, and get in on this promotion while supplies last. I know I will, and if it worked on him, it can also work for you too. Balance7.com. Now, back to the pod. You were mentioning on guys that you found in the 10th round that had some great value. We got just a couple minutes, a couple more questions here left with the Candlestick Kids, the Fantasy Football Podcast. They're also involved with the Bleed Podcast Network with Sky Guasco and Bobby LaMarco. I got to talk about Darnell Mooney, guys. Now, this is probably one of my favorite values. I don't think I'm going to be able to get him in my drafts because I drafted too many Chicagoans. But this was a guy, fifth-round draft pick last year. I mean, was he even drafted maybe in most leagues? Probably debatable. I'm loving his value right now. I don't have the number in front of me, but I'm pretty sure he's still, I think, in the 110 to 130 ADP right now overall. I love the value. He's having a great camp. Dude's a great route runner, and I think he's in for a big season. What say you, Sky?
Yeah, 12th, 13th, 14th round, depending on your draft. He's going about wide receiver 51 right now. I am all in on Darnell Mooney. I'm absolutely buying the hype. I was buying it last year, too, out of Tulane, and then he just got overthrown every pass and looked terrible. So thankfully, now he's falling down draft boards. Last year, just to let you know how bad it was in Chicago, his pass catching rate, he had a 10th. He was 10th in unrealized air yards, which is basically just, it's a fancy stat for saying the amount of passes that he had that were uncatchable and what he could have possibly done with those yardage. He was 10th in the ability, but he was 11th in deep ball targets, which is excellent, obviously. 25% of his targets, though, were deemed uncatchable. So three quarters of his passes were catchable, quote unquote.
Is Mitch Trubisky's book going to be called Unrealized Air Yards?
The Mitch, I think it's just going to be called just Unrealized. Yeah. Like Unrealized ... I think it's probably. Anyway, I'm all in. Absolutely. Darnell Mooney's a beast. And this is what you don't see a lot of times. Like, look, Davante Adams needs no help, obviously, but he has never had a number two other than Jordy Nelson when Davante Adams was the number two. Allen Robinson will have a true number two, and AJ Brown now has Julio Jones. That tends to actually help bona fide number one wide receivers because they can't be double covered all the time. That helps Allen Robinson, and Darnell Mooney is now going to get his with the downfield efficiency, surprisingly, of Andy Dalton is just fine. And again, Justin Fields is a pretty, quote unquote, raw rookie prospect for now. But one thing he does have is deep ball accuracy, and he gets out of the pocket and can make space for himself, which we see Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson be so incredible at. When they get scared, they get out of the pocket and they find a spot and gear up and chuck a Madden, 50-yard pass. Those are going to be completed much more often this year to Darnell Mooney. I'm all in, absolutely.
Yeah, what I love about him the most is he's just not this straight line runner who caught six bombs last year and now he's on everyone's radar. I mean, everyone keeps talking about how the dude, just really digs in on the details of his routes that aren't just, the long game. It's the three-step routes, how to run a three-step in five or six different ways to spring himself open. He's a little bit slight. I think that probably hurt him in the draft process. So health is always going to be a factor. But Bobby, are you on board with Darnell Mooney perhaps being one of the better sleepers, or honestly, just borderline? I mean, just straight up great value right now going in the rounds 12 to 14.
So we have to be realistic about Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton's Andy Dalton. We like Allen Robinson. I get that. But Andy Dalton. So I was curious to see how the wide receiver did with Andy Dalton. So since 2011 with Andy Dalton, the wide receivers to finish on average is the wide receiver 38, which is pretty good. His ADP, like Sky said, right around wide receiver 50. So he offers you some value if that's the case. Points per game, 9.4. That would have been wide receiver 46 in points per game last year. So that's kind of like, yeah, I think he's going to give you some value. But my problem is with his ADP is Mecole Hardman going in that range. Give me the wide receiver 2 for Patrick Mahomes. I don't even know if it's going to be realized, but it sounds like it's going to be. Michael Pittman, a lot of buzz about him. I know Carson Wentz injury puts that to bed, but he's going right behind a guy like Darnell Mooney. And Marvin Jones, you just brought up. I love Marvin Jones. So I'm not going to draft Darnell Mooney over Marvin Jones. So I guess I'm okay with Mooney. If he falls maybe another round, I might definitely take him. I'm interested. But just the history, it's not a lot of upside for the wide receiver too. There was a good season. Like, for example, Marvin Jones back in 2013 finished as a top 25 receiver behind A.J. Green, but he only averaged 10.2 points per game. So it might have been a down year for receivers. That's not really going to get it done. So overall, I think I'm going to say no, but I like him for this year. I like him for the overall offense.
Follow up real quick. I want to hear from both of you guys. So in this scenario, you know, Mooney's in the 12, you know, the 14 round range. Let's just say, you know, maybe the Marvin Joneses of the world are gone. You do take a Darnell Mooney. He's not meant to probably be your starter the first couple of weeks of the season because he's your 12th round pick. Are you the type of guy that would think about a long game of, you know, taking a Justin Fields in that area too as well? Because we do think eventually he will see the field. We don't exactly know when, but maybe if you're a guy that ends up with, say, a guy like Matt Stafford who's oft injured, or maybe you take someone, you know, Kyler Murray, Tom Brady, whatever. Are you a guy that wants to pair up with a quarterback that can use his legs as well, like a Justin Fields later in those rounds?
Again, it's all about format. If it's dynasty, then it's a no-brainer, and you absolutely want Justin Fields and Darnell Mooney, absolutely. If it's a redraft single quarterback league, you're probably not drafting Justin Fields. First of all, you can just wait to get him on your waivers. If you're in some sort of a keeper league and stuff, you want to stash him, cool, or a deep bench. But otherwise, you're not going to do that because ultimately, Justin Fields, and again, we're 3 weeks away from ball. This could be a totally different conversation in like 10 days. But as of today, Andy Dalton's the starter, all right, whether Bears fans want that or not. Justin Fields is not going to play until Andy Dalton either doesn't play well, they're losing games, or he gets hurt. If Andy Dalton takes him 4-1 or something like that, Fields might just not see the field for a while, and that's going to hurt your fantasy team with depth. So if you want to take a stab on Darnell Mooney in the 14th round when you got three picks, like, yeah, why not? It's only upside. That's the kind of guy you're drafting. But Fields, honestly, I would not. I love the talent. The guy's a beast. He's going to be great for a long time, hopefully. Single quarterback leagues this year, though? No, I'm not. However, I will say this because my boy Justin Herbert was in this situation last year. Nobody drafted him because of Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor gets hurt, then he gets hurt again, and Herbert, you know, ended up breaking all the records in just about 12 real games and set the league on fire as a rookie. So it could certainly happen, but I wouldn't bank on it because going in, Justin Fields is not the guy as of today.
And over the past couple of years, it always just seems like there's some quarterback that pops week 7, week 8 that just totally flips.
It'll happen again. Trey Lance probably this year.
And I was going to say, Bobby, let me throw it to you, man. You know, Trey Lance versus Justin Fields. If a fantasy team were to take a flyer on one of those guys as perhaps one of those league flipping changes, which one do you probably like more right now?
It's going to be Trey Lance. He's getting a lot of work with the first team already. And the thing is, his team around him, George Kittle, Debo, Ayuk, even the run game with Shanahan. But we've seen Kyle Shanahan do this with RG3. RG3 took the league by storm as a rookie. I like knowing in the history that a coaching staff has groomed a rookie year one and they hit the ground and became league winners. That's why I think if you're going to do this philosophy, it's Trey Lance. But long term, you got to love Fields because of the talent. They keep Allen Robinson with Mooney. The Anthony Miller thing seemed a little weird. I guess you could tell us about some insight on that. But Cole Kmet is one of my favorite sleeper tight ends with nice transitions for later. But I love Cole Kmet long-term, even when Jimmy Graham finally retires. So that's a good core, along with Montgomery and Dame Williams and also Tariq Cohen. So I think if it's 2021, you take the shot on trade.
Anthony Miller's story as short as I possibly can. Rookie year, 7 touchdowns, look great. 2018, the offense is cooking. Mitch Trubisky is going to be, whatever, a bear for life. Red flag number one, the following season, out of camp, you start hearing Matt Nagy talk about the details. That's what Anthony Miller is missing next. Details in his route running and discipline. That's the first sign of the dude doesn't know the plays, or a 9-step drop is a 7-step drop and you're screwing up my offense. Stop doing that. The other one, and this one rankled Bears fans, is if you watch enough games, the dude will catch a 6-yard pass and he will jaw at as many people as he can find within a 10-foot radius. I think he probably committed more unsportsmanlike penalties than he actually came up with big plays in those last couple of years. And then finally, we had this whole situation where we were beating the Saints last year in a game, in a regular season game, and Javon Wims gets knocked out for swinging at one of the dudes on the Saints, who I guess is a notorious, I can't think of his name, notoriously for rankling opponents. So we get to this playoff game with the Saints, and all week long we're talking about this cornerback and our beef with him, and Nagy's just like, look, we had a big talk with all of our guys that no one's going to do anything in this game. And then what does Anthony Miller do? We're down 6-3 with like 5 minutes left to go in the first half. We're still in that game. He gets kicked out for hitting that dude in the face. It's just all the talent in the world, but you just can't have dudes around like that. And, you know, I did a podcast last year with former Chicago Bear Cameron Lee, and he said for a long time, he's just not a winning player, a talented guy that just needs to maybe get in a new situation and just learn that, you know, there's a difference between being talented and learning how to win football games. That's the story with Anthony Miller. Gentlemen, I got one more for you. Having a great time. We're going a little bit over, but I'm loving it because this is fantasy football. My juices are flowing right now. My blood is pumping. So let's talk about tight ends. let's do it, man. I wanted to bring up tight ends because this has been happening. It's a tale as old as time. Every single year, there are about three or four guys you can absolutely bank on that are, you know, known commodities, the Travis Kelce's of the world, the Darren Wallers. We can throw George Kittle in that mix. Those are guys that are a little bit of set it, forget it. You draft them early on. But after that, it is a total crapshoot. And if anyone can prognosticate who's going to be the 5 tight end to the 14 tight end by end of season, is probably a millionaire right now. So, gentlemen, I just want to ask you, let's talk some tight end sleepers here. Who are some guys that could be anywhere on this list that you think could possibly jump into that 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 range by season's end?
All right. So my guy's Anthony Firkser. Yep. So we're talking deep sleeper. The biggest thing I like about this offense, number one, Todd Downing was the tight ends coach, was promoted. Same thing as Arthur Smith. They keep promoting their tight ends coaches, and I love that. And if you just look at points per game by team, the Titans were 3rd in the NFL last year in producing fantasy points for the tight end position. So at 39.9 points per game. So the offense is conducive. If you just look at Anthony Firkser and Jonnu Smith last year, they combined for 80 receptions, 835 yards, and 9 touchdowns. That would have been the tight end 4. Now, remember, Jonnu Smith is gone, vacating 65 targets. The guys that we're replacing him with is Jeff Swain, 30, his career high in targets, 32. Luke Stocker, career high in targets, 27. So the two guys replacing Jonnu Smith combined don't even match up to his 65 from last year in their career highs. These are blocking tight ends. And also, he was used as the slot receiver. He led the Titans in every slot category, yards, receptions, touchdowns, everything you can think of, he led in routes. So he's basically being used as a glorified slot receiver. He's going out, not even drafted. I think he's going to be a low-end tight end one this year. I love the offense, and I love how they promoted their tight ends coach. They love using their guys. So I'm thinking Anthony Firkser is my tight end sleeper.
I love it, man. That's some great info right there. I also do love that their tight ends room sounds like a group of henchmen that Batman just kicks the shit out of on the regular. Stocker. Yeah. And Firkser. Yes, it's a pow. Firkser, Stocker. Sky, hop in, man. Give us one of your tight end sleepers here coming in.
All right, I'm going to do this because I've been riding this guy for a while, and now it's cool, but I'm going to stick with it. It's Adam Trautman. If anybody's in the fantasy world, he's now a very popular borderline breakout, not sleeper anymore. But I just want people to understand how real this situation could actually be. Adam Trautman right now going as a tight end 15. So again, in a 12-team league, you're mostly not drafting 2 tight ends. It just doesn't happen. You don't draft 2 quarterbacks usually most of the time either. So he's going undrafted like Anthony Firkser. He caught 15 of 16 targets last year. So 16 targets is nothing to pay attention to. But literally only one of those targets was uncaught. 15 of 16, of course, with Breeze and the rest of the squad there when he was in and out. 171 receiving yards and a touchdown last year. So nothing crazy, but somewhat efficient. Jared Cook now, longtime Saint, is also gone. Okay, very effective with the Saints. He is now with Herbert and the Chargers. He's vacating 60 targets. So again, similarly to Jonnu leaving the Titans. Michael Thomas is out for at least a month. And depending on his situation, because the Saints are not very happy with this man right now, which I'm not going to get into, depending on his situation, he could be out for longer than that. And I'm going to put out a bold take on your podcast just for a receipt. I would not be super shocked if somehow Michael Thomas is traded at the deadline. And I know it doesn't make sense on paper, but you just mentioned Anthony Miller being a great talent, not a good clubhouse guy. Michael Thomas is quickly becoming that dude as well. I'll leave it there. Tre'Quan Smith and Deontay Harris are the next man up for the Saints. They have not proven to be the bona fide number one over the years for the Saints. Jameis Winston does favor his tight end. He had a great tight end logs there in Tampa Bay for quite a while. Taysom Hill, we're just not sure because of limited sample size. So, you know, not sure about that. But the history shows with Sean Payton utilizing his tight ends way back in the day. Jeremy Shockey, you know, Colby Leaner, an OG breakout for fantasy football, and lots of guys over the years, though. So again, with him and a breakout at tight end 15 going undrafted, last pick in your round, zero risk. with just putting Troutman on the end of your bench, even if you drafted like a Hawkinson or somebody where you're like, if it doesn't pan out, I want somebody else. Grab Troutman at the end of your bench, zero risk, tons of upside this year. And in Dynasty, it's a no-brainer. He should be on your team already. So I think Adam Troutman's one. Bobby and I have a list of a ton of other guys to mention, but there's a few other guys that the dart throws at. But Firkser and Troutman, I think, are our top two.
These are great calls, guys. I love them. I love the Troutman pick. I love the Firkser pick. And, yeah, Michael Thomas is a napalm. Follow-up, and you were talking about pairing them with guys that maybe you aren't so sure of. I've seen in some boards Kyle Pitts is going as high as four. Now,
please don't do that, folks.
Real quick, rookie tight ends. Let's all just say it together. Rookie tight ends are not good fantasy investments. They're not good fantasy investments. Ty, please explain to us, you know, what's your take on Kyle Pitts, and is there any chance he could subvert that narrative because he is coming out of college as, I guess, a blend, a hybrid of wide receiver tight end? What's your take on Kyle Pitts being ranked fourth among tight ends right now?
Okay, so ranked fourth amongst tight ends is silly as a rookie in redraft. Again, redraft and dynasty are different mindsets. They're totally different conversations. Redraft specifically, it's silly, okay? You have Kelsey and then Waller or Kittle, however you want to do it, and then he's going about – Kyle Pitts with the upside is going about number four. And then you have – usually it's about, you know, Andrews and Hawkinson, and then Logan Thomas, Goddard, whoever behind him. For Kyle Pitts to just get you back the value that you're going to pay for him on draft day, just to get to zero with him, he has to have significantly the best rookie wide receiver or rookie tight end season of all time.
Yes.
Of all time. He has to literally be the best rookie wide tight end receiver season of all time just to get you the volume back. Now, your questions are very simple. Can he do it? Could you see it happening? Blah, blah. Yes. Unfortunately, this is what's weird about this. Julio Jones is gone. Calvin Ridley should see 200 targets, but there's still another 150 probably for Kyle Pitts, which is insane. So yes, he could absolutely do that. If he catches 10, 12 touchdowns, which is not impossible with Matt Ryan, right? And Arthur Smith, who we just talked about the tight ends with Firkser, he's now in Atlanta. He's a tight ends coach. So could it happen? Absolutely. Would it be shocking if he did it? No, yes, because he's a rookie, but it could happen. And in the tight end position, if he gets 80 catches, 810 or 12 touchdowns, he probably will be number three because of the way the position works. So it's possible. Is it likely? No. That being said, his body type is literally Calvin Johnson playing tight end, which is, it's literally cheating.
I don't know how to handicap this because all the history says even the greatest tight ends of all time, they don't have that production that first year. There's a lot of blocking elements that has to keep tight ends on the field or not. You know, there's just a lot that's kind of in the mix there that's kind of got me scratching my head a little bit. You know, Bobby, talk about, you know, Sky's point of, you know, Matt Ryan, the Falcons offense, you know, they've been breeding tight ends. I mean, they got Austin Hooper $40 million in that offense. You know, where are you on Kyle Pitts? Is he worth the investment or rolling the dice on?
So the one thing I will say with Arthur Smith is we saw with Jonnu Smith, he was limited because they basically used Anthony Firkser. So they split work about 55-45% in the target share. So Jonnu wasn't even getting made all the work. It was a split. And we could see Hayden Hurst on the field. They can run a lot of two tight end sets, which could impact Kyle Pitts' overall upside. But what Sky brought up, the best tight end season was Evan Engram. Yes, he finished as a top five tight end, but he averaged 9.4 points per game that season. That's not a difference maker. The problem with Kyle Pitts is you draft Kyle Pitts, the fourth tight end, in the top of the fifth round, you can draft the tight end seven, two, three rounds later. I mean, you could draft Dallas Goedert. I'm a Tyler Higbee guy. But whoever your main guy is, you can get them in the double-digit rounds. So you're passing up T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, Brandon Ayuk, and you could draft Dallas Goedert later, but you're going to have to replace him with, like, I get it, Michael Gallup, he has his moments. I know some later guys. So you have to think about it. Forget about the tight end position. Think about who the wide receivers and running backs you're passing on in the fifth round, and who do you have to replace them with when you could draft a Tyler Higbee in the 10th round, and you could draft Chase, Higgins, and Ayuk. So I think that's my problem with Pitts. I think he's going to be the best rookie of all time. But what does that mean? 10 points per game? Is that a true difference maker in the fifth round? I don't think so.
I'll add one more thing here before we close off. A couple of names, like deep, deep names, right? Over the last handful of years, you think about Darren Waller, Mark Andrews, Logan Thomas last year, Bobby called it, shouts out to Bobby, and also Robert Tonyan, for example, the last 2 years. Those are the guys nobody drafted, nobody talked about other than Bobby, and nobody else was excited about, and they came out of nowhere, had the opportunity share and made it happen. this year, and Adam Trautman, Anthony Firkser, Gerald Everett, there's a couple of other guys way down the list that nobody's talking to that could spring up and be that guy. OJ Howard is back, incredibly talented. There's opportunity for those guys to come up too. What Bobby's saying is you're passing on elite talent at number four or five pick, and not to say Kyle Pitts isn't long-term, but he might not be as a history shows he won't be as a rookie. You might be able to get tight end six at the end of the day in your 14th round. So for us, the math doesn't make sense. Love Kyle Pitts, the highest drafted tight end, probably the best talented tight end to ever get drafted. He's different. We know that. But for me, at the opportunity cost on draft day, no thank you.
Sky Guasco, Bobby LaMarco, and the Candlestick Kids Fantasy Football Podcast and the Bleav Podcast Network. Gentlemen, this was rad. I had a great time. Thank you so much for joining. Had a wonderful time. And before we say goodbye, whoever wants to do it, Sky or Bobby, just tell the good audience, you know, some of your socials, the way that they can check out your stuff. You know, there's going to be a lot of mock drafts going on the next 2 or 3 weeks. I'm sure a lot of good people would love to have your expert advice. So hop in and let us know how they can reach out and find you guys.
You got it. I'll do the TCK side, and I'll let Bobby do his writing side because he's also a part of a lot of other network doing writing as well. So my name is Sky Guasco, SKYGUASCO. You can find me on Twitter there. On Instagram, fantasyfootball_TCKpod. We also have a TikTok as well if you're one of the youngsters getting into that as well. We also have a YouTube page that we're firing up here. We got a couple different things that I'm not at liberty to speak of yet, but I'll shoot you a link later, Joey, and you can dish it out to your listeners. But you can find us at the Candlestick Kids Fantasy Football Podcast on the Bleav Podcast Network. We're new to the team. We've been doing this since 2018. We got 420 plus episodes, so we're not new to the scene, but we're new to the Bleav team. And so we would love for, you know, the Bear Down family to come and give us a shout, give us a rate and review, a like and a follow and a subscribe. We would much appreciate it. So again, follow me on Twitter, Sky Guasco, and look for Candlestick Kids Fantasy Football Podcast. And Bobby, why don't you give your avenues as well, bud?
Yeah, so listen, TCK is where it's at. Gotta love our Bleav podcast. And Joe, we've got to get you on our podcast later, talk a little bit. We're definitely doing that. But yeah, so I do expand the box score. I'm doing my opportunities analysis, basically looking at historical dropbacks plus available targets, giving you a brand new way to look at how available targets should be. Love this analysis. It's dropping tomorrow. Go check it out on Expand the Box Score. I also wrote about, I talked a little about points per rush attempt. That's on Razzball. So go to football.razzball.com. I'm doing a bunch of work on true value of points per rush attempt receptions over the next couple weeks. And I'll be writing throughout the season there as well.
You guys know your stuff. This was really great, man. And I think we might all be friends. I would love to have you guys come back soon. I'm more than happy to always come on to your guys' pod and we can cut it up together. This was really great, guys. Thank you so much for coming on. Today's episode of Bet on Chicago with Joey Christopoulos was brought to you by BetOnline.ag. Make sure you check that out with a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Today's episode was also brought to you by Balance 7. Make sure you check that out. Thank you so much for listening to this pod. We got tons more content coming the rest of the week, so make sure you check it out. Until then, be well, be safe. Please be good to each other. Until then, when in doubt, always bet on Chicago.